Well, first of all, thanks everybody for coming today. We appreciate that. Quite frankly, with 20-odd Democrats, and I don't mean necessarily personality, although I suppose some of them would fit that, we want to make sure that you're hearing from the other side. And we want to make sure that you're hearing from the other side, not just personalities and politics, but we want to make sure you're hearing some facts. And so I hope we're making a statement before anybody even talks that we've got the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, one of our assistants, your majority whip, along with a member of the Ag Committee. Plus, we have three people that are out there, the business owners are good. Every party, both the Republicans and the Democrats, are saying they stand for business owners. They're here. And they're going to talk about what this Trump economy means to them, what this economy means across the board. So, yes, I'm the Republican chair today. I guess I'm kind of the traffic cop here. And I want to guide the discussion to let them tell all of you what's going on out there. And especially from people that are actually here, not from New York, not from California, not with pie in the sky, Green New Deal ideas. I want you to hear from Iowans, people that are there, and people that are helping to build this economy into what it is right now. So that's enough said from me. Let's just start, and I'll go over here to Representative Pat Grassley, who is chair of the Appropriations Committee. Question for Pat. Give us the overall picture of Iowa's economy. How does that follow the trends of the national economy? And more importantly, and this is where we want to go, what do you think would happen if President Trump were no longer in charge? Worst case scenarios, think about that. Tell us what you think.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be here today, Jeff. And I'm thinking, you're on the mic, sorry about that. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today. And I was thinking about this on the way in, and I think you'll hear from Lee and John and I about stories from each of our districts and how, you know, kind of making it a personal touch on it, because like Jeff said, we're out there and hearing from our constituents every day as a citizen legislator. And I would say from the perspective of the state's overall economy, very low unemployment, 2.4% unemployment, I think something that we can all be very proud of. And one thing that I hear from business owners within my district would be just the confidence that they feel that they have from this administration, that they're standing behind them and they're trying to give them opportunities to succeed. Here in Iowa, one of the biggest problems we actually have is finding the individuals to fill the jobs that we have available. And so from the legislature's perspective, we spent a significant amount of time this last year trying to train a workforce, trying to recruit a workforce, because our economy here in Iowa is doing so well. We have, I think the last number I saw was around 70,000 available jobs, which is a good problem to have, but it's still a problem. So from the legislature's perspective, we've been really focusing on how we're going to train a skilled workforce, because there's so many opportunities available. I just talked to the community college yesterday on the way down here from my area, and they said one of the things that they're seeing is students directly out of high school are being recruited for these jobs and just being trained on the job, because we have such a thriving economy here, and they need to fill those positions as quickly as possible. So as far as what we're hearing, I think on the ground, you're going to hear a message that our business owners feel very confident in the economy, and the legislature's job to try to help fill some of those gaps, and like I said, skilled workforce and making sure that we're not standing in their way of succeeding.
So you've got, just a follow-up to that, you're hearing the background noise of all these folks coming into the state fair right now, and just basically, Christmas Day, and ignoring all of these record-setting, since we've been keeping statistics, trends in our economy. And if one of them, if a Green New Deal could take root, even partially, if the situation happened where we dismantled our healthcare system, which is what, in the end, what most of them want to do, worst case scenario, how would your constituents' lives? You're in the heart of Iowa. What's the ramifications of getting off a train that's heading to economic record-breaking success and getting on essentially what is a socialist train?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. I find it interesting that you go in our districts, and even when I was elected 14 years ago, people would have laughed at some of the proposals that some of these presidential candidates are running around putting out there. But now I think our constituents are actually seeing that you have presidential candidates running on a platform of like a Green New Deal, for example, as Jeff said, and they are very scared about things like that. When I go back to my district, they kind of want, you know, their initial reaction is to kind of laugh, but then they know that these candidates are serious. And so I think that's why it's so important that Iowans are asking questions, and that's something Iowans are great about. You know this from traveling across the state. If you're a presidential candidate, it doesn't matter what party you're from. If you come here, you better be prepared to answer those questions, and I'm hopeful that Iowans are continuing to ask questions of these presidential candidates and understanding the impacts that some of these policies will have on their day-to-day lives.
The Democrats are ignoring these statistics, and they're just not talking about it. The Democrats are accidentally forgetting when they sponsored the Green New Deal. The Democrats want everybody to forget that every single one of them raised their hands to provide insurance benefits to illegal residents that are here. Are the people in your district forgetting that as
no.
well?
It's like I said, it's really hitting home that these candidates are running on this agenda. It's not just one or two of the 20. I mean, like you said, everybody raising their hand in the debate, that comes across very clearly to even those that don't pay super close attention to politics. They see those kind of things and ask us as legislators just out on the street, you know, are they really serious about some of those things? And the scary part, I think, is yes.
Okay. Look, Lee, I'm going to bring you in on this, and then I'm going to get done with Lee before we go to Representative Wills. I'd like to get some perspective from you folks that are out there and generating work and jobs for the economy. Representative High, out in Jones County, and your grandpa, by the way, would have never done that. But out in Jones County, that was a joke, folks.
You can laugh. Yeah. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Out in Jones County, in again, heartland of the country, literally the country and of the state. What are you hearing? And I want you to put on your farmer hat, your small business hat. I also want you to wear your Ways and Means chair hat. Give us a little perception of what this Trump economy, the statistics, what you're feeling, what you're hearing people say they are feeling, not talking points. What do you think?
Well, as I talk with constituents out in Delaware and Jones County, like Pat said, unemployment is really low. In Delaware County here this spring, it was 1.8. Jones County was 2.2. I was at a meeting with Senator Ernst yesterday and talked with the economic development lady of Delaware County, and their number one concern is skilled workers and finding enough people to fill the positions. I haven't been at a business in the last...
I'm sorry.
Okay. Is that better? Okay. She made the comment that, like I said, we're looking for, I haven't been in a business that didn't have an opening. That's one of the questions I always ask is if somebody walked in the door today, would you, if they were fit the requirements, would you hire them? And most generally, it's absolutely not only one. I'd take two or three or four or five. And yesterday, the Donna Boss, the economic development director of Delaware County, made the comment that a couple of the businesses there are going as far as Puerto Rico to recruit people to come and move into Delaware County and start jobs here in Delaware County, and then her number one concern after that is housing, and how do we house the workers and keep them involved. So that's what I'm hearing. Tax-wise, I hear a lot of, from time to time, I hear people talk about it. I'll talk from a personal experience. In 2018, when my tax accountant and I sat down and did our 18 taxes, the federal tax program brought me a refund, which I normally don't like to have because that means I've already paid in X amount of dollars, and I got a refund back that helped me make a significant farm payment that in the January of 2019. So I think that's it was a big deal, and it's putting more money in the pockets of Iowans.
I'm going to probably come back to you two a little bit later on and ask you to put on your farmer hats and talk just a little bit about the tariff policy and what this Green New Deal, the effect it would actually have, especially both of you raised cattle. So, and that seems to be one of the targets of that. Our three business folks today, and I got to make sure, I've only gotten one of you before, so this is not one of these stage things where we all sit back and practice, folks. You need to know that. Just like we did with farmers last summer, we're actually taking a little risk and putting it out there. That's how confident we are in this in the Trump economy. Brooke Doheny?
Doheny, yeah.
Doheny is the owner and agent of Next Generation Realty. Wally Peld is the owner of Peld Engineering. And Anthony Morrow, and I should say Brooke is from the Polk County metro area. And Wally, you are in the metro too?
Yes.
Metro area. And then from Iowa City, Coralville area, Anthony Marlowe is the owner and CEO of MCI. Just generally, what kind of economy are you experiencing? What has Donald Trump and the economy that he has helped to create, what is it doing for your business? What are you seeing on the ground?
This is Anthony from Iowa City. I'm happy to take that one first, Jeff. The momentum in the economy is absolutely staggering. The evening the president got elected, we employed 400 people. Today, we employ more than 2,000. Ironically, yesterday, our company, MCI, my firm, headquartered in Iowa City, was announced as Iowa's fastest-growing company. And a lot of that has been driven, most of it has been driven and derived by the momentum in the economy. And it's driven by predictability. It's driven by lower taxes. It's driven by reduced regulation. Companies, small business owners, corporations have substantial confidence in investing. We're absolutely drinking from a fire hose. There is, I don't want to say more work than we could handle, but there's at times more work than we could handle. We're growing. We just moved from a facility to do service delivery in the North Sioux area to the Sioux City area, and we quadrupled our capacity, and we're hiring hundreds of people to deliver service to clients that have an increasing demand because they're growing, they're making investments, and they're making money. Their wages are increasing for their employees. They're spending money on variable expenses, capital expenses. I've never seen anything like it. The economy of the 80s was pretty good, and I I've only been alive for 40 years, but I just don't think there's been anything like this, and it's an absolute privilege to be alive as an entrepreneur during this time. And there's so many levers that haven't even been pulled yet that could continue to dramatically accelerate the economy. It's been an exciting couple 3 years under President Trump, and we're very much looking forward to the next five.
Anthony, I just want to make sure, and it's real important to me that the folks that took their time to hear what all of you folks had to say understand that this is not a set-up performance. You and I have not had one conversation about what's going to happen here today.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure you guys know this, because it's almost, I can almost hear somebody say, this is almost too good to be true. Yeah, it is. The Trump economy is almost too good to be true. What do you, when you hear the AOC disciples out there. Now, they're pretty quiet now because they're at the state fair and people don't like that.
Sure.
But Bernie Sanders and his vision of Iowa, and Elizabeth Warren really pathetically trying to have a conversation with an Iowa farmer or a small business person, what keeps you up at night with the prospect of one of these Democrats becoming the next president?
Yeah, I mean, the tough part is, and you know, a lot of their thoughts and sentiments are well intended. They're you know, not bad people, but it's just not pragmatic. It's not reality. It's not how life works on the ground. And that's why you see, you know, guys like Dave Portnoy, the Barstool president, wanting to debate someone like AOC because, you know, average Joe, and he's got a successful media business, average Joe wants to communicate with the Ocasio, Representative Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Sanders that their policies are not realistic. They would eviscerate jobs, eviscerate families, eviscerate incomes. It's not sustainable. It's failed everywhere in the world. It's been tried before. And we appreciate the sentiment, but it's just not reality.
Thanks, Anthony. From your perspective, Wallenbrook, what do you see just generally in your businesses? What's the Trump economy doing for you folks?
So I think real estate is the heartbeat of Iowa. When I go in to list houses, which I got a listing call right before I came in, people are saying they want to sell now because they don't know what's going to happen in 2020. And these are coming from people that aren't political. This is just people that are scared and happy at the same time. Our sales, we were at a 50-year low when Obama left office, home ownership. We are now, I can't tell you how good it feels when you see people that were never able to buy homes, especially first-time home buyers. There was an FHA mandate from President Obama that said we are going to artificially lower the interest rates on FHA loans. When Trump took office in 17, he got rid of that. And there was in our line of work, there was a lot of noise that was the worst thing ever. It's been the best thing ever. What Trump did was say, I have more confidence in people and giving them jobs and giving them good jobs and good pay than I do in the government artificially propping up FHA loans. And FHA loans are notoriously for first-time home buyers. So anyways, first-time home buyers are my favorite people to work with, and their home ownership has soared with this administration. Trump is the best thing that has ever happened to Next Generation Realty, other than the owner.
Good plug there, yeah. Brooke, are we talking about middle-income home buyers? I mean, we're not talking about mansions in the metro, right?
No. We are talking about people, and I could give lists of names just in the last 2 weeks that I've sold houses two and four that are just getting out of college, and they might have little to no income. They're first-time home buyers. These are people that are buying $150,000 homes. They're bringing their kids to look at the homes, and they are ecstatic to be able to be homeowners. That is the American dream. And Trump has single-handedly provided a lot of people in the Des Moines metro with the American dream. It still is homeownership.
Thanks. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to hear what Wally has to say, but I'm going to come back to you as well. What keeps you up at night with the prospect of a President Warren or a President Sleepy Joe or a President,
Is that question for me?
No. I'll come back to you. I was just shivering here.
I can answer that if you want.
It had to take a little while just to get that thought out of my head so I could look at you straight. What are you seeing in your business right now in the Trump economy?
Well, we're a civil engineering, consulting, architectural, and engineering firm. We do survey work. We're very tied to real estate. I can give you an example of we were six employees. We're the epitome of a small family company. So when Trump got elected, it was me, my brother, my sister, my brother-in-law, my dad, and one employee. We are currently, so that's six. Today we're 12, and I would hire about three more if I could. It's scary for a small business to grow that quickly, but the economy is dictating it. We're struggling to find employees, as you've mentioned, because unemployment is so low. I'm having
not that I like to use the word scalp, but I have to pay more to get more. I'm pulling people from cross disciplines. We just hired another person from the industrial engineering field who wants to learn civil engineering. So those are very real things for us. There are times when I feel, just as Anthony did, we can't keep up because it's growing so fast. The economy is so hot. I don't want to burn up my employees either. I mean, there is a danger to it, right? Because in our small business, we're a service-oriented business. My employees are our commodity, right? If they're working well and they're happy, it's humming along. I can address that other question when you asked about healthcare and everything else. A brief history about our company is my dad is a World War II refugee that fled communism to come to the United States, and he's lived the dream. Served in the military, came out with a civil engineering survey degree from Iowa State, was employed by the city of Des Moines, became city of Urbandale engineer, and then started his own firm in 1969. So we're celebrating 50 years this year. And it's, he explains to me like this. He goes, I've seen it all. He's like, but when, like our, he is a resource for us business-wise, because our healthcare costs, I'm just going to give you a prime example. Our healthcare costs have almost quadrupled since I took over. And that is so important for my employees and their families. And we try to keep up, but it's that balancing act, right? So all I can tell you is this economy is pushing us in the right direction. I've doubled in 2 years, and it scares me because it's scary. Because there's other times when you have to let your resources go, right? When the economy has turned, it can die just as quickly. So you want to grow smartly, but I can tell you we're big fans of this economy. We're big fans of what they're proposing. We are not fans of socialized Medicare. I mean, my mom grew up in Sweden. She came from a socialized country. My dad came from a small country called Latvia. Large portions of our family were either exiled or executed. I mean, it's a different story. But he has the American dream, and this has allowed us to continue that American dream of having a small business, growing it, helping families, and getting to the next level.
Thanks for sharing that. Well, Brooke, when you hear these Democratic candidates painting this picture day after day after day, either by leaving out what they're in favor of, until you find them on the coast, and then they're letting loose, or when you just hear them talk about this economy, and hear them talk about it's not a good economy for everyone, and you just so eloquently spelled it, what keeps you awake at night in regards to the 2020 election and a President Warren or a President Sanders or any of those candidates, even Sleepy Joe?
I would love to see a woman president, but the women out there do scare me. I know what they're against, and it's President Trump. And when they say that they're against him, it is telling me they're against what is building me up, what's building my family up, everyone I see, the happiness that I see. I know what they're against, but I don't know what they're for other than giving illegal immigrants free health care. My health care is horrendous in prices ever since Obama took office, and I know Trump's trying to work with that. They are so out of touch with women. They are so out of touch with what is going on in Iowa. My father's a farmer. We go to Pheasants Forever Fest, and people just laugh. Like, is this a joke? And I have to say to myself, it's not a joke. These people honestly want to be president of the United States of America, and I wouldn't even be friends with any of them. They scare me. They're so out of touch. I don't know who they represent, but they certainly don't represent Iowa or women.
Thanks. Again, for the record, I've never met you two. This is the first time I'm hearing this, so I appreciate you being so blunt about this. Representing Wills, Northwest Iowa, you represent an area that's very rich in tourism, beautiful country up there. You're also, you've got your pulse on what's happening legislatively, being the a leader in the legislature in the Iowa House. And, of course, you're not a farmer, but you work with farmers. You work with farmers all the time to be environmentally friendly, to be kind to our waterways. And I know one thing I do know about you, that's in your heart. Just your reaction to all of this, and I want you to wear all your hats. Put on the legislator that represents a tourist area, the conservationist, and citizens. What are you hearing? What's your perspective?
Well, thank you for the question. So first of all, let me talk about tourism. Tourism this year in the Iowa Great Lakes, I represent from the Iowa Great Lakes to South Dakota, all along the Minnesota border. So I have some multiple perspectives to add. But tourism this year was really good, with the exception of the weather. So the weather is something we can't control, but we had some great tourism minus that weather, which tells us the first thing that people do when the economy is poor is they don't go on vacation. And so you tell right away, you know that the economy is clicking along pretty good. Not to mention, we've got counties. I've got two counties in my district that have 1.7% unemployment. We are importing people from South Dakota, from Sioux Falls, to work our jobs to get a 1.7% unemployment. Now, the state has 2.4%, I believe, at the last, and that's said to be full employment. Well, what about 1.7%? I think the state has some room to grow. But we are clicking along. Not to mention the fact that we are number one in Northwest Iowa. We're number one, two, or three in beef production, pork production, corn and soybeans production, egg production. We're number one in all these agricultural commodities. One of the things that we really need is the USMCA to really allow for our products to be exported. Right now in the state of Iowa, we have about $12 billion of exports each year. Half of that goes to Mexico and Canada. Most of that half goes to Canada. The rest of it goes to Mexico. We need the USMCA for $6 billion plus dollars of exports. It would just increase our economy even more. We just need that sort of thing. Now, to talk about the new Green Deal, number one in beef, all right, they want to get rid of cow farts. Well, that's going to impact my district tremendously. It would hurt us tremendously, and we need to really take a look at that, because what they're talking about is hurting rural Iowa with this Green New Deal. It would hurt rural Iowa tremendously, and we've got to understand that and really understand what they're saying when they talk about that. They're talking about affecting health care. In many instances, we've only got one hospital per county in Northwest Iowa. You mess with our health care, now you're going to see hospitals close, and you're going to see people driving 60, 80 miles to get to hospital. We've got to really think about some of these policies that they're promoting on the federal level with these presidential candidates, because it's going to hurt rural Iowa in a way that we have never seen it here in Iowa.
And just for the national press that may not know Representative Wills, his commitment to conservation and his commitment to our environment up there in Northwest Iowa is impeccable. He has a statewide reputation for that. So when he talks about the Green New Deal, that's not a talking point. That's a reaction to something he doesn't see as helping.
So just if you don't know who I am, I, my job on a daily basis, I work with water quality. I'm a conservation guy. I work on a daily basis and help keep our lakes clean, help keep Iowa Great Lakes clean. By the way, we've seen the best water quality than we've seen in years. And so some of the stories that are being published in some of our state newspapers just don't get it.
Okay. Are we doing some questions?
Yeah.
Okay. We're good. And I know some of the rest of you, what we'll do now is we'll open this up if you have some questions. And then if any of the rest of either the street legislators or our street business owners have something else they want to add at the end, we'll wrap it up on that. Is there any questions from any of the press that has come here today? Go ahead. Make sure you use my phone.
Sure. For us, the stock market's so volatile. I mean, our industry is pretty isolated here in Iowa, right? I mean, I compare to trying to expand our business. So we cover Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, some of South Dakota in the districts that we'll go to. But I know, like, housing prices and projects that we've looked at in California, Colorado, they go with the stock market. I would tell you here in Iowa, it's pretty steady. I mean, when I see that drop, I'm not concerned because I think it can recover. That's probably my eternal optimism, but I believe it's going to recover, right?
Well, in economics 101, you can't take a stop shot and then project towards a economic downturn. I mean, it's like having a headache and then already knowing that you have an incurable disease. I mean, I would hope, seriously, and this isn't chastising the media, but, you know, every time there's a little sign, and we know these stock markets are reactionary, but every time there's even a hint that you can make a case that things aren't going to go well, these Democratic candidates jump on that and paint a doomsday picture. And I get politics. I'm in the middle of that. But, you know, at some level, don't you have to project to the United States? I know I did as a Republican when something good happened in the Obama administration, when it did. But, you know, this whole idea of every single tiny little thing, and then Ocasio-Cortez and her crew jump on this and paint these pictures, that's not accurate. It's just pure politics. And that's the case where politics can actually hurt the country. Let's hope, I think we can all hope that there's some good times ahead. And again, I did, as a Republican lawmaker, when some good things happened with President Obama.
Chairman Kaufman, it's interesting you bring that up. I mean, the thoughts that go through my head when the market pulls back a little bit and everyone says, oh, he has to make a deal with China because going into the election, you know, why, you know, he wouldn't want the market down. And then at the same time, the same people saying that are withholding the passage of the USMCA, which is just an absolute windfall for everyone in America, particularly auto and the agricultural industry, right? If our representatives were, you know, pragmatic, particularly the left-leaning ones, USMCA would be passed, and it would enable the president to even further strengthen an already tremendously strong position that we have against China, and a deal that has to be cut. He should have zero fear on holding out, on compromising on a deal with China for the fear of the market going down and the media and Democratic candidates trying to paint that fear and bait him into it. I believe he will hold his ground. He's the best deal maker that has probably been born in the U.S., right? But it's just unbelievable to see the pressure to try to get him to back down from China, or that our representatives aren't there in D.C. right now passing the USMCA. You know, come off the summer break, pass the USMCA. Let's continue to crank this economy.
Let me, and I know some of the rest have some things to say. Let me get another question in, and then others can, you can go back and address some of these other points. Yes, ma'am. Let me preface that, and I'm going to turn to my left to two people that make their living before they were legislators, during the time they're legislators, and after they're legislators in the farm economy. But yeah, our farmers, in the premise of a lot of the Democratic comments, I don't believe they think that our farmers understand global politics, global trade, and macroeconomics. Our farmers get it. I'm a seventh generation farm boy. They get it. They understand that there has to be some short-term pain to change this juggernaut that's been strangling our trade deals. And it's so ironic that an Elizabeth Warren or anybody else, Sleepy Joe or anybody else, is talking about that short-term pain, which there is. I just was talking to my brother this morning. We're making the decision whether we're gonna trade in a tractor and trade up again. But the bottom line is, and by the way, we are,
And I guarantee it'd be a different conversation if Elizabeth Warren was the president. But the bottom line is that the same time they're criticizing this short-term pain that our farmers, even though they've been inundated with reasons not to, are still supporting this president, they put on the table a $93 trillion deal that would decimate life as we know it. Folks, the Green New Deal would decimate life as we know it. So we're talking about some short-term pain versus the equivalent of an economic atomic bomb attack on rural Iowa. There's some definite hypocrisy in terms of the Democrats. I really do care in the awkward conversations they're trying to have with rural Iowans that they probably never met before they decided to run.
You okay? Well, and Brooke said something about this, and I've been chomping at the bit trying to get Mike and Jeff's really hard sometimes, but a lot of what's happening is due to pure hatred for the president and not for what's good for this country. We have three Democrats from Iowa in Congress that if they really wanted to force the hand of their speaker from California, who clearly probably agriculture isn't their number one priority, could do it. We have four former and current legislators sitting here, and every one of us could tell you something that we forced our leadership into positions to do that they may not have necessarily wanted to do because it was the right thing to do for our districts or for the state of Iowa. So the one thing I'm definitely not going to put up with is our three Democrat Congress people from Iowa saying, well, you know, home, we want to get this UMCA, we want to get this trade deal done, but then they're not forcing our leadership. There's ways to force your leadership to do things, and if you haven't figured out what they are by now, you probably shouldn't be in Congress because freshman legislators can figure those things out pretty quickly. So that's a frustration that I have, is we have to force the hand of the leadership in the House to get this move forward, because I don't truly believe it's stalled because it's not good policy. It's stalled because of hatred for the president, like you were saying, from some of our presidential candidates. And that's a frustration that we here at home is, why is this not happening? It's good for America. Why is it not happening? And I think we all know the answer to that, and that's kind of scary from my perspective.
Former Democratic Governor Vilsack is on board in favor of this. Current Democratic Governor of Kansas. This is politics that our Iowa Congressional Delegation is playing with Nancy Pelosi saying. You want to talk about hurting rural Iowa? That's hurting rural Iowa.
You talked about the rural economy and farmers in general and things are a little tough, and I'll agree absolutely. They are tough. But if you follow the markets and trends and things, you will know that Iowa and the world right now are overproducing, and demand is probably more of a problem. Now, I will be the first one to admit that, yeah, it does have the trade tariffs with China does have a problem or is affecting our markets, but it's a small part. Probably more, we would probably be in the same shape if we'd be talking about the same kinds of issues if China wasn't on the table. We have in the last couple of years, in the last three years, I have raised the biggest crop I've ever raised in my life. Now this year, I think will be the first time that I will have the opportunity to get out of the combine at the end of the season and say, it isn't the biggest crop I've ever raised in the last 4 years. So we have a large amount of grain in the world that is sitting, waiting to be consumed. And while the Chinese are going to continue probably to feed their people, they're not buying it from the U.S., they're buying it from Brazil, Argentina. Well, guess what? The market and the people that have been buying from Argentina and Brazil now have to find a place. And maybe they buy it for a little less from us because we can't trade with China. But in the big scheme of it, it's probably more demand and supply driven. And as I talk to farmers, I think a lot of them agree with me. But they also want to see this thing come to an end, because we do know that the longer we go, the more chances we lose out on markets, and people get used to buying from Brazil. So we need to get it settled, but I don't think it's the big issue of what's slowing the farm economy down.
Absolutely.
Let me answer the previous question first, and then I'll kind of get to that. So first of all, when you go to Congress or when you become a politician, you really have to make tough decisions sometimes. And that's something that what Pat was alluding to. Our congressional delegation is just not making a tough decision right now. They're just floating along, playing the party line, and they're not doing what they said that they'd do when they went to Congress. They said they were going to be there and do the right thing for Iowa and for the citizens of Iowa, and they're just plain not. And as far as the China thing, let me ask this question. How many of you would keep your doors open to your house when you know that somebody's coming in every day and taking something out of it? Nobody would do that. Well, China has done that to every sector of our economy. They have come into every sector of our nation's economy and stolen stuff. They've stolen intellectual property. They've come to Iowa and stolen seed corn. I mean, they've stolen stuff. That's billions and trillions of dollars of stuff that we've lost. This trade war is needed. I support the president, and it's going to be something that will pay dividends forever for the state of Iowa and for the country of the United States. As far as production of corn in western Iowa because of the floods, well, that's just simple. Representative Hine was just talking about he's had great crops, and all over the state of Iowa we've had great crops. We've got an overabundance of corn. We've got an excess of corn. We're going to be able to shift some of that corn to feed those cattle, feed some of those hogs. They may have to reduce some of their herds if they can't afford the extra cost. But that's just something that farmers have to deal with. They are business people. They make good business decisions to support their business on a daily basis.
One of the first things that the president asked me when I got to spend about 20 minutes with him, one of the first things, there was no cameras, there was no nothing. I think technically I'm not even supposed to talk about what we talked about. But the bottom line is, one of the first things is, how are they doing in western Iowa? There was no talking point. He didn't pull anything out. He didn't even think I'm going to bring this up. How are we doing in western Iowa, and how is the relief package for the farmers that are sacrificing? That's one of the first couple of things. He gets it. He understands it. And I think that's why rural Iowa is returning that support. One more. My millennials that control my life are telling me there's about 10 of them. Is there one more question? Rod? Nobody raised their hand over there, so.
Because that's what the media wants us to see. I know, but do you know what's funny is that we've never had a better economy ever. And when I was drinking my coffee and getting the kids ready this morning, it was like they were all at adventure, or like Disneyland on the media. We're going into a recession, recession, recession. That's the one thing. I've never seen somebody love America more than Donald Trump, other than maybe my father. And he wants America to do well, but it's like everyone wants to just pull him down, inverted yields. People don't even know what that means. But that's what we're interjecting here. When we are telling you the economy is great here in Iowa, you go to the Iowa State Fair and you see Make America Great hats again, you see veterans hats. We love the president. We love the country. We love Iowa. Don't bring us down. Don't try to bring the economy down so that Trump loses. Love America more than you hate Trump. That would be what I would say.
And Rod, remember that economics, the economics professor that I teach with will tell me that economics is not a science. Economics is an art. And so there are as many economists right now that are not ringing that alarm bell than are. The proof's in the numbers. Month after month and year after year, after the president's been elected, the economy has exceeded expectations. I mean, there is a long-term trajectory of where we're having that is in those numbers. So are there some economists outside of politics, although I would argue that it's very hard for anyone, whether they be an economist or a judge, to be outside of politics. Yes, there are some economists that are ringing that warning bell, but I can match those economists one-on-one, and the less partisan they are and the less they hate this president, the less likely they are to look into this crystal ball and see a snapshot in time as opposed to a 21-month trajectory that would say otherwise. Is that all that we got?
Anybody else?
We'll do one more. Oh.
I think it's all who you listen to. I sat in a conference in D.C. right before the 1st of July. I listened to an economist that was very bullish on the economy. Actually, he thought that all the signs and indications were moving along very well, and didn't see any kind of recession coming in the next 2 years. So, like I say, I agree with Jeff. It all depends on which crystal ball you're looking into, and I think you probably can find, you know, we've got people in this room that are very bullish on the economy, thinking it's going to continue. I think you will find some of those if you, this was a guy, an economist from some sort of I can't remember the exact university out of California, but I listened to him, and I thought he made a lot of sense, and he was talking about the difference between our economy now and what happened in between 2007 and 2009, and as he pointed different things out, there was a huge difference, and so I would tend to kind of believe that I got more faith in him than I do some of the people that I saw on TV last night.
I have to. I can't help myself, Jeff, you know that. As an elected official in Iowa, I would assume Lee and John would follow the same suit. Now, we could read whatever you want, and people can project whether the economy is going to slow down, uptick, whatever it is. But I can tell you, for me personally, when I talk to business owners like this in my district, these are the stories that we hear. So Jeff didn't just pull three people out that are very successful, obviously, to do this, because there's a lot of businesses right now that are thriving in Iowa. These are the kind of things that we hear on the ground that I put much more stock into than what I may read or hear from someone just making prediction on what they think of the economy. It's the people making the investment in their business and what they're hearing from their customers on the ground that I would say that a lot of the policies that we do here in the state of Iowa especially are driven to try to fit those needs, what they give us. And I have not talked to, I can't even think of an employer in the last couple of years that has told me, boy, the economy's really killing me right now. It's more help me fill my jobs, bring people to Iowa, and that's something the legislature is putting a lot of focus on, too. So this is where I put my faith, people like this in this room, to get predictions on what I see from the coming economy.
Yeah, Representative Grassley, spot on. Rumors of a recession is nothing short of a scam. If the market pulls back a little bit, whatever, so be it. It's a buying opportunity. Once USMCA goes, China goes, it'll go back up. It'll probably go back up anyways. With the Fed policy where it's been at through the Trump administration, the 6 million new jobs might actually be 10. The growth on GDP might be 50% higher. There is no recession around the corner or looming anywhere soon. It's absolutely explosive what's happening in the economy right now.
And Rod, if the Democrats really believe that, would they? I mean, I go after Democrats quite a bit, but even they don't even have to love this country, even if they just like this country, there is no way they're going to continue to withhold their votes on the USMCA if they really think there's a recession on the corner. We have a solution with neon signs that are blinking on and off. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a solution and paint a crisis and then say you're not going to pass the solution to achieve the crisis. So you can see, if just by using just pragmatic logic, that these Democrats are just making this crap up for political points, and they're cherry-picking some economists that will say what they want to say. For crying out loud, we have socialist economists, and we have capitalist hardcore economists. It's like picking a psychologist for a trial. Pick your economist, and they'll reinforce whatever point you want. And unfortunately, that profession has been politicized like so many others.
Then, like Bill Maher, they want to manufacture a recession or attempt to have some sort of sentiment about it so they can try to gain political ground. I mean, that's questionable ethics, and that's on the back of Americans and taxpayers and hardworking, and they'll pay the price at the ballot box. I think that in November of 2020, that the GOP under Trump's leadership is going to retain the Senate, pick back up the House, and obviously, clearly, in 1984 fashion, retain the White House. So there's no recession anywhere on the horizon. The next 5 years of the economy are probably going to be the most explosive that the country's ever seen, if you could top the last three.
We all appreciate you taking the time. You've just reasserted what I always tell people about our state press and the national press that's here. You're interested in hearing both sides, and we appreciate you folks being professionals and let us have our say. We really do. That's sincere.